Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Father's Day is not a completely inappropriate day on which to ask a riddle about egomania. It is one I hope my children don't ask too often about me. Question: what is the difference between Daddy and God? Answer: God doesn't think he is Daddy. In this morning's epistle, St. Peter counsels, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Humility is not exactly one of the more popular Christian virtues. We have grown to believe that any show of humility at all must be phony. Nearly every influence around us teaches that the most important thing in life is to feel good about yourself. Prayer book revision in the Episcopal Church got some of its greatest mileage out of the claim that our 1928 edition is excessively penitential. It phrases such as, miserable sinners, and we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, and a confession of sin in every communion service were just too much for contemporary people to swallow. A wise Christian writer pointed out to me that humility comes from the same root word as humus, earth. Humility implies receptivity. As humus finds its true purpose, as it is receptive to seed and to sunlight and to rain, so humble people find their true purpose when they are receptive to the help and the guidance of God. People of a literary bent may think of the way humility is exemplified in the Charles Dickens character of Uriah Heep. Uriah Heep is named most ironically for one of the truly most humble men in the Bible. Heap spent all of his time telling everyone how humble he was. That perverse variety of showing off is not, of course, real humility. It's just another dreary form of pride. Our model of humility is Jesus. But even the most superficial examination of the Gospels shows that Jesus is not at all humble in anything approximating the popular or the Uriah Heepish sense. Jesus is opinionated, forthright, argumentative, even verging upon insulting and downright nasty. His humility, as the New Testament means it, is something St. Paul explains in Philippians. Even though Jesus was God's equal, he was willing to lay aside all the power and privilege and prerogatives his position gave him. He became a weakened, limited human being who lived and suffered and died. Jesus is humble because Jesus did what his Father wanted him to do. Jesus is humble because Jesus did not say, my will be done, but instead, thy will be done. If we act upon what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, we shall be well on our way to displaying the true humility God and St. Peter want us to have. If we refuse even to try to be humble in that sense, then God and our knowledge about him and our relationship to him can never do us any good. If we set ourselves up as being too strong or too independent or too self-sufficient to need help from God, we can be sure that we will not get it because he will never force it on us. St. Peter writes, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That doesn't mean that God punishes proud people by denying them his help. By definition, proud people set themselves above and apart from God's help. One way to measure your own humility quotient is by how you react when people say, I am not religious, because religion is just a crutch for weak people. I am perfectly comfortable saying, of course I use religion as a crutch. If I didn't have it, I couldn't walk. That humble yet clever response fills me with a deep sense of pride. We need to learn how to identify ourselves properly with the two parables Jesus tells in this morning's gospel, the ones about the lost sheep and the lost coin. We are not to suppose that we are among either the 99 safe sheep or the 9 protected pieces of silver. We are the lost ones, and by the very fact that we are sitting here in church, well, a passage for church, we know that somehow Jesus came looking for us, and he found us, and he got us here. True self-worth comes from knowing God loved you enough to send his son to die for you. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting every care upon him, for he careth for you. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.